Are you religious? Do you have faith? I believe you can have faith and not be religious, but you can't be religious if you don't have faith. I was raised Catholic. Somewhere along the way, I stopped going to church, but I have faith. It is strong. I couldn't have survived without it, and I believe in a higher power.
This is Gloria Moraga's One-on-One, a show designed to improve face-to-face communication in the digital age.
I did some research for this podcast and came up with these numbers. I will include a link in the description on my source for all of these numbers and the information I provide later in the podcast. Christianity, 2.1 billion people are Christians. Islam, 1.3 billion. Hinduism, 900 million. Buddhism, 376 million. Sikhism, 23 million. And Judaism, 14 million. This is my special Easter Passover spring podcast episode. I know, it's late, but I'm still within the general time frame because it's not officially summer yet. It's late because I'm a tad over emotional right now. I guess it's the COVID-19 scare. Police violence, racism, the riots, looting, unemployment. It's a scary time. I'm a little scared. There, I said it. I love horror movies, but lately life is like a real-life thriller, and I'm hoping for a happy ending. I have faith that it will all work out for us. I read a headline today. It said, "Not so proud to be an American anymore." Wrong, bucko. I still love my country. We just have bad, bad leaders right now. Bullies, like the bullies I worked with. We can survive them. I am a little ashamed of being an American because of the way this administration is treating immigrant children. It's a crime. I hate it, and I'm going to vote in the hopes for a change. I also struggle with my little business. I've been working on formatting an ebook for some friends of mine who were going to pay me. And after I did hours and hours of work, they decided to use someone else to finish the book. I was devastated. I'm still going to bill them for the work I did. And I understand about getting fired. But what bothered me is they didn't tell me about it until long after the book was published. And that hurt. And I think they didn't want to hurt my feelings, which resulted in my feelings being hurt. Remember the line from The Godfather? "This is business, Sonny, not personal." But you see how poor communications really causes so much problems in every way. My point here is there are all these worldly troubles, and we also all have our own troubles. And it's tough. It's scary. I think all the bad news makes us frightened because of the lack of information and the horrible communications that has occurred. I'm a communications expert. I conclude the federal government's communications during the pandemic and the riots is awful. They get an F for failure. Now, Americans, we think the world revolves around us. It does not. Italy shared its lockdown stories, and just having that information was fantastic because I learned what Italians were going through, and that helped me prepare for the worst here. Our government screwed it all up. At first, they denied that the virus was a serious threat. Then, when they could no longer escape the cold, hard facts, the government scrambled to do something, anything. And recently, leaders are lying and not being honest about management of the pandemic. And all of our information comes through this political filter that is tainted, and it's just wrong. I miss great journalism. Communication in the digital age is a mess, and it's so ironic because we have all these tools, but they're not being used to bring us together or to make us smarter. I was embarrassed that our lead story, when all of this seriously began in the United States, was that we were hoarding toilet paper. How do Americans react to tragedy? We rush to the store and buy too much of what we don't need. As far as stories were concerned, I wanted to see nurses on the front line or hear stories of survival and sharing and pulling together. Maybe I'm just looking in the wrong place, but I'm savvy. I look around and I'm not seeing it. Back to Easter, Passover, religion, faith, and spring. Rebirth. I love this time of year. When I was a child, we attended church every Sunday. During the weeks before Easter, I attended church on Ash Wednesday. I always gave up something for Lent, which represents the 40 days Jesus Christ fasted in the desert, where he was tempted by the devil. And during this time, I always think of how we are tempted by various devils every day in every way in real life. I never ate meat on Friday. I received palms on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter. I grieved on Good Friday, the day Christ was crucified on the cross, and celebrated Easter Sunday, when he rose from the dead. Now, my mom always made a big deal about Easter, our birthdays, all the holidays. We got new dresses, huge Easter baskets. We dyed and hid Easter eggs. We ate ham with all the trimmings. I'm sad that I've lost some of these traditions when my mom died. I'm sad that some of the young men and women I love in my family are not religious. Now, I respect that they are agnostic or atheist. They don't believe in God or in organized religion, but I pray, I hope, that they have faith, even if it's just faith in themselves, faith in anything, love, love of their talent, faith in their talent, in their jobs, in their family. I think they do, and it's going to help them through life. It helps us all through life. It is a fact that in history, more people have died or been slaughtered by one group or another using religion and religious beliefs against another group. People hate. That has nothing to do with religious beliefs. And if they say it is, they're lying. Lying to themselves. I know this. Faith, belief in someone or something greater than myself, has gotten me through my life. I believe in God. I believe in good. Therefore, I believe in the devil or evil. It helps me. It explains a lot. In researching this podcast, I read about Passover and skimmed information on the top five religions. What amazes me that there are so many similarities and connections in all the religions in so many different ways. I'll try not to belabor the point, but let's go through some information. The oldest religion in the world, Hinduism, originated in the Indus River Valley about 4,500 years ago, and this is now modern-day Northwest India and Pakistan. With roughly 1 billion followers, Hinduism is the third largest of the world's religions. Hindus believe in a divine power that can manifest itself as different entities, and there are three main incarnations, and sometimes compared to the manifestations of the divine in the Christian Trinity. So there's those threes. Buddhism. Buddhism was founded by Siddhartha Gautama around 500 BCE. It is said that Siddhartha gave up his comfortable upper-class life to follow one of poverty and spiritual devotion. He famously meditated under a sacred fig tree and vowed not to rise until he achieved enlightenment. After this experience, he became known as Buddha, or Enlightened One. Buddha's teachings encouraged Buddhists to lead a moral life by accepting the Four Noble Truths. 1. Life is suffering. 2. Suffering arises from attachments to desires. 3. Suffering ceases when attachment to desires ceases. 4. Freedom from suffering is possible by following the middle way. And the concept of the middle way is central to Buddhist thinking, which encourages people to live in the present and to practice acceptance of others. Buddhism also tends to de-emphasize the role of a godhead, instead stressing the importance of personal responsibility. Judaism. After their exodus from Egypt in the 13th century, Jews, a nomadic society, became monotheistic, worshiping only one God. The Jews' covenant or promise of a special relationship with God is an important element of Judaism, and their sacred text is the Torah, which Christians also follow as the first five books of the Bible. Jews emphasize moral behavior and action in this world, as opposed to beliefs or personal salvation in the next world. Islam. Islam is a monotheistic religion, and it follows the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, born in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, in 570 CE. Muhammad is seen only as a prophet, not as a divine being, and he is believed to be the messenger of God who is divine. The followers of Islam, they're called Muslims. Islam means peace and submission. The sacred text for Muslims is the Quran. As with Christianity's Old Testament, many of the Quran stories are shared with the Jewish faith. Divisions exist within Islam, but all Muslims are guided by five beliefs or practices, often called pillars. 1. Allah is the only God. Muhammad is his prophet. 2. Daily prayer. 3. Helping those in poverty. 4. Fasting as a spiritual practice. And 5. Pilgrimage to the holy center of Mecca. Christianity. Today, the largest religion in the world is Christianity, and it began 2,000 years ago in Palestine with Jesus of Nazareth. He was a charismatic leader who taught his followers about charity and treating others as you would like to be treated yourself. The sacred text for Christians is the Bible. While Jews, Christians, and Muslims share many of the same historical stories, their beliefs verge. What strikes me about the different religions is that there are so many beautiful, beautiful teachings in all the religions. They're wonderful, and reading them gives you hope that there can be a better world. But we're here in the real world, and it's tough. The misinformation about the COVID pandemic continues. In the United States, the briefings from the White House are a joke. When I read that some people don't want to vote for the president's Democratic contender, I thought, what? What is wrong with you? We get the government we deserve. I've tried not to make all of my podcasts about politics, but sometimes it's a must because, like religion, our lives are tied together by the way our political elected officials govern. They screw up, we suffer. It's now June 15th, 2020. I shot a short video about America reopening, and I pray that everyone will be safe and wear masks and be careful. I know many won't, but I have faith that we're going to get through this. I do. I am a Mexican-American woman. My grandparents immigrated to the United States from Mexico, and I thank God for that. I'm happy that I'm an American. I'm happy to be here. I know when our president is preaching hate and blocking our border with Mexico. Our government was opening our airports to thousands of people who've been visiting China and other countries who are already struggling with COVID. Those policies, or lack of foresight, helped spread our epidemic in this country. Our policies, those policies, killed people here. I wrote most of this episode in April. It's now June, as I said. Officially, it's not summer yet. It's still spring. I hope you can still remember your Easter ham or the taste of your bunny cake. I love those bunny cakes we had in our house because it was our birthdays. Cheesecakes. So good. The experts say COVID-19 is going to decline when it gets hot. I hope so. We have all summer to find out. And I have faith, my friends, faith that we're going to get through this. I hope you're with me on that, whether or not you're religious. Please be safe. I'm Gloria Moraga, one-on-one communications in the digital age. Yeah.